And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put on my black hat. Now, what's a black hat? Okay, let me explain myself. The black hat is a symbol for somebody in the United States Army who is in a leadership and training position who has responsibility for making sure that you meet something called the minimum standard. Yes, the minimum standard. So the black hat is in reference to the person who has responsibility. So I'm putting on my black hat and I am taking responsibility for you meeting the minimum standard. Many of you are sitting there staring at the radio thinking, I have lost my mind. I have totally lost my mind. I know you right over there. You're thinking that, right? Okay. Let me explain myself. Let me calm down. Calm down. I'm going to explain myself. All right. The minimum standard refers to the lowest acceptable level of performance in a particular field or activity. It's something your boss expects you to have. Your boss expects you to meet the minimum standard. And if you don't meet the minimum standard for the organization, your boss may no longer be your boss because your boss may fire you. Yeah, minimum standard. Minimum standard serves as the baseline or threshold that must be met to be considered adequate or to avoid failure. Anything below this standard is typically deemed unacceptable or insufficient. Does that make sense? Okay. Minimum standard. When it comes to military service, there is a minimum standard. There is. And everybody is measured by that minimum standard. In military service, a minimum standard refers to maybe the basic physical fitness levels of a soldier or proficiency in certain soldier-related tasks or knowledge required by those soldiers. For example, there are minimum standards for physical fitness testing, such as running a certain distance within a certain period of time, or weapons proficiency, or other operational competencies. And meeting these minimum standards is crucial for maintaining readiness and effectiveness in various military roles. And failure to meet these standards can lead to disciplinary actions, retraining, or even discharge from the military. The military is serious about its soldiers meeting the minimum standard. The minimum standard is there for a reason. The minimum standard should be there for you in every walk of your life. You should have a minimum standard for everything you do in your life. But maybe you don't. Maybe you don't. Maybe there's an area of your life where there is no minimum standard. Now, I'm not going to get into your personal life. I'm not going to get into certain things that you don't want discussed on the radio. We're not going there. But here's what we are going to talk about. We're going to talk about what you're doing for investing. Most of you, within the sound of my voice, okay, all you Lifestyles Unlimited members, you're the exception to this rule. But most of you listening to my voice are not Lifestyles Unlimited members. You're not. You've tuned into the show for a very specific reason or by accident. It's as simple as that. And what you're finding out is that maybe what you're doing for investing, it's either working or it's not. And more importantly, one of the things that you will find out on this show is that real estate investing might be the right type of investing for you to do. But before we get into the real estate context, let me go back to the stock market investing that you're doing. The minimum standard in stock market investing could include criteria for selecting stocks or other securities. It could involve minimum financial metrics like P/E ratios. Yeah, you've heard of P/E ratios, right? Price to earnings ratios, or maybe earnings growth, or possibly a dividend yield that a stock must meet before considering it for investment. But do you do that? Do you do that? With the type of investing that you are doing, are you reviewing P/E ratios? Are you reviewing earnings growth? Are you looking at whether or not a stock pays a dividend or not? How about this? Are you looking at the minimum standards for risk tolerance, time horizon, maybe even diversification? Because these standards can help you in constructing a portfolio that aligns with your personal financial goals and your risk appetite. But here's the problem. Your minimum standard is to, all right, I'm going to say something that's going to make some of you very upset with me, but it has to be said. It has to be said. The elephant in the room must be addressed. Many of you are on cruise control when it comes to your investing. You sat down with that financial planner and you talked about the future. You talked about how you want to be retired. You talked about how you want to have the big house and the nice cars and all the things that go with a dream retirement. But here's the problem. You don't have a minimum standard. Now, the current plan you're on, go ahead, answer the question. You ready for it? Here it comes. At what age do you plan to retire? Now, you must know that age, right? Now, for some of you, that age is like a future decade, like your 60s or your 70s. For some of you, it's very specific. I plan to retire at the age of 62 because at the age of 62, I can start drawing my Social Security, which will augment my retirement income. Okay, I get it. What if I told you you could retire in the next 5 years? Why don't we do some math? You want to do some math? I know Rick's my producer. He's in the background. I can just see the look on his face right now because he's got that sad eyebrow look, you know, like, oh my goodness, he's going to talk about math. But I'm going to do easy math for you guys. You ready? How old are you? Okay. We've got a number, right? All right. Add five. Go ahead. Add five. And some of you are going, no, there's no way. There's no way I could be retired at the age of 45. There's no way I could be retired at the age of 35. There's no way I could be retired at the age of 55. Yeah, well, you absolutely can be. You want to hear my story? Okay, check it out. Check it out. Ready for it? All right. I retired from the United States Army at the age of 50. This is all the way back in 2014. You can do the math. You can figure out how old I am today. Yeah, you add more than five, right? Okay. 2014, I retired from the United States Army. I earn a pension. I'm trying to live off that pension. That pension pays me one-third of what I used to make when I was serving on active duty. Formulate in your mind what it would be like for you to leave your job today and try and live off of one-third of what you used to earn. Yeah, and the big problem that creeps up is that you're spending just about everything you earn, right? So your expenses all of a sudden outweigh your income. Well, that was my problem. It was a huge problem. It's a giant sucking sound in my checking account. If I hadn't been doing what Dave Ramsey had taught me to do and tried to pay everything off that I could pay off prior to retiring, I probably would have filed bankruptcy. So thank you, Dave Ramsey, for keeping me from bankruptcy. I do appreciate that. So how did I do it? How did I survive after I, quote unquote, retired from the military? Well, I had to get back into the workforce. I had to get a job. Because that's what they teach you when you leave the military, is they teach you how to write a resume. They teach you how to do interviewing skills. They teach you all this stuff because they know that you can't live off of that pension. And in the back of my mind, I knew that too. But at the end of the day, I was still retired. I couldn't change that. So how did I survive? Well, I had paid off every vehicle that my household owned. There were four drivers in my household at the time that I retired from the United States Army. And guess what? Everybody who was a licensed driver in my family had a vehicle essentially assigned to them. And all of those vehicles were completely paid off. They were completely paid off. So what did I do? I took a title from one of the vehicles. See, I have the titles in my possession, or I did. And I took the title down to my bank. I said, Mr. Banker, can you loan me some money? I have something called collateral right here. Mr. Banker looked at me and said, I will take your collateral and I will loan you some money on based on that collateral. So they loaned me money and I lived off of that money. That money came into my household and kind of filled the shortfall that I had because I wasn't earning 2/3 of what I needed in order to sustain my household. What happened when the money ran out? I took another title down to the bank. I said, hey, Mr. Banker, it's me again. You remember me? Oh, yes, Mr. Gordon, I remember you quite well. Yes, are you here to do that thing with the title? Why, yes, Mr. Banker, I'm here to do that thing with the title. I'm here to hand you that title, and I'm going to ask you to hand me a bag of money. And when I take that bag of money, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to try and live off of it while I'm looking for a job. And hopefully the money doesn't run out. And you know what the money did? The money ran out. It ran out. Totally ran out. So what did I do? Vehicle number 3. Hey, Mr. Banker, me again. Okay, Al, come on in. Yeah, we're on a first name basis at this point, right? Okay, so I give him the title, gives me the bag of money. I live off the bag of money, still looking for a job, hadn't found a job yet. Ran out of money again. Oh my goodness. This is what your potential retirement in the future is going to look like, because you're saving up a big bag of money. And then when it comes time to use that money, you're going to live off that money and that money might run out. Like my money ran out when I took title loans out for all 4 of my vehicles. Because yes, on vehicle number 4, I went down to Mr. Banker and I said, hey, Mr. Banker. And he's like, yeah, I know the story. Okay, we're done. All right. So what happened when the money ran out after vehicle number 4? Because it did. It totally did. Well, I didn't have any more vehicles. I didn't have any more vehicles that I had the titles to that I could go down to the bank and take a title loan out for that vehicle. I was kind of stuck. But I had these little plastic things in my wallet. You know, you might have these plastic things in your wallet too. They're called credit cards. And what do these credit cards have associated with them? Well, they have something called a cash advance feature. And I was about ready to take a cash advance out on the first of many credit cards that I have that have cash advance features, because I was in a situation where I was desperate for money because I was spending more money than I was bringing into my household and it was crushing me. It was crushing me. So what happened? Well, at that moment, I actually landed a job. Now, wasn't that 6-figure-a-year job that I was hoping to get? No, but it was a job that paid me enough money that I could stop the financial bleeding in my household. And all I had to do was adjust my minimum standard for retirement. That's all I had to do. The new minimum standard for retirement for me was this. Work until the age of 70, and here's why. I have a pension coming in from the first job, right? Military service. The second job that I took, if I can survive for 20 years in that second job, will pay me a pension too. So I'll have a second pension. And then I'll be 70 years of age when I retire. I'll be able to take maximum Social Security benefits. I will have 3 sources of income. I'll be 70 years of age and I can retire. What could go wrong? Well, the minimum standard was terrible. It was terrible. When we come back from the break, I'm going to talk to you about real estate investing. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa appreciates having mentors who have her back.
Having the faith to move forward, and y'all have everything provided. I could call a mentor and say, hey, I don't know what to do. Someone is always there to guide you. I have backup.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join now for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I am working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today by talking about something that was just beat into my head in my 27 years of military service. And it's something called the minimum standard. You have to have a minimum standard, a minimum acceptable standard that you will set that deems appropriate to you. The point I'm trying to make is that the majority of you out there have no minimum standard for your stock market investing. What you've done is you've turned everything over to a financial planner. You have your money coming directly out of your payroll. It bypasses you. It goes directly to your financial planner, and they use that money to buy fractional shares of whatever they're buying for you, and you don't really know. Okay. So what kind of rate of return are you getting? You getting 8%? You getting 10%? How about 12? What do I need to do? I know. I'll call my financial planner. I'll set up a meeting. We'll talk about how close I am to getting to that retirement lifestyle that they showcase on television. In the meantime, what's the stock market doing? Is the stock market doing what you expect it to do? Now, the stock market, it's had some troubles over the last couple of weeks. Seems to have, you know, kind of leveled out a little bit. But what happens if it doesn't go back to its all-time highs? What happens if it slips up? So when's the last time you looked at your stock account? I mean, do you look at it every day when you wake up? Or did you look at it the other day when the market dumped like 6 months worth of gains in one day? I keep track of what my investments are doing because my lead investors that I'm invested with send me reports. Now, some of them send me the reports monthly because they said they would. Some of them said they would send those reports quarterly, and I'm okay with that. The point I'm trying to make is I get these reports, and these reports tell me what my investment is doing. I can read the financials in these reports. I can tell whether or not the investment is on track or it's not on track. Or maybe it's exceeding my expectations, because that happens too. I'm an active investor. I know exactly what's going on with my investments. I have this little thing right here, this thing called a phone. Yeah. You know what I can do with this thing? I can pick it up, and I've got every one of my lead investors on speed dial. Every one of them. So if I have a question about the investment, I just hit the button, and I just talk to them. So let me ask you a question. Do you have a minimum standard when it comes to personal goals? Do you have a minimum standard when it comes to relationships? How about health, professional achievements, physical fitness, any of those things? You probably do. You probably have a minimum standard when it comes to those areas of your life. So why not have a minimum standard when it comes to investing? A minimum standard that says, I would like to retire myself in 5 years. Now that to me is a standard. It's actually a goal. Same thing, right? Same thing, semantics, right? All right. So how do we do this? How do we do this in the real estate world? How do we establish goals that give us the minimum standards that we want when it comes to, let's say, single family investing? Well, one of the things that you could do is become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, and we'll just lay everything out for you. I mean, that's what we do. We lay it all out for you. We take you from cradle to grave. We teach you everything you need to know when it comes to real estate investing, but not all forms of real estate investing. We only focus on the residential-based investing forms of real estate investing. And the reason we only focus on residential-based, in other words, places where people live, is just because of that. Everybody needs a place to live. Unless they're homeless, right? And even then, those people need a place to live too. At the end of the day, you have to have a minimum standard. Now, one of the minimum standards that we will teach you when you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited is that you have to establish those minimum standards for what you want to invest in. So what would those be? What would those possibly be? Well, how about this one? All right, I'll just throw one out for you. Okay, and this is a minimum standard that we follow at Lifestyles Unlimited. As a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, I look for assets that pay me at least an 8% return cash on cash. You heard me correctly. So the asset, when it's paying me cash flow every month, that cash flow must be representative of at least an 8% return on investment. And if the asset doesn't return at least an 8% return on investment, I discount it. I set that investment aside because that investment doesn't meet my minimum standards for investing. What other cash flow minimum standard could I set? Well, I want the cash flow itself to not only be 8% cash on cash based on what I invested in the asset, I also want it to be at least $200 per month. At least $200 per month. Anything less than $200 per month doesn't give me the return that I'm looking for. I'm just telling you, it just doesn't give me the minimum return or the minimum standard that I'm looking for. So the minimum standard is $200. $200 minimum cash flow. So I have two standards on my cash flow. Must be at least $200 and must pay me at least 8% return on investment, cash on cash. Those are two standards that Lifestyles Unlimited teaches people like me. And you know why they teach me those kind of standards? Because they work. They're time-tested. They make sense. They dovetail perfectly into a business plan that will get you retired in 5 years or less. Pretty cool stuff, right? All right, what other minimum standards do I have when I'm looking for single-family investments? I'm looking for equity captured. What does that mean, equity captured? It means that when I pay a certain amount of money for an asset, I am paying to acquire the asset, I am paying to renovate the asset, I am paying closing and holding costs to retain the asset until I can put a renter into the property and that renter can start paying me rent every month, which will translate into the cash flow. So what I'm looking for is I'm looking for equity capture, which is the difference between my all-in cost, everything that I will spend on that property, and a higher value, which is really the appraised or the after repair value of that property. In other words, what properties trade for at retail pricing in the general market where that property is located. Does that make sense? Between those two numbers, essentially the difference between a wholesale number and a retail number is equity that you capture. My minimum standard, and this is a minimum standard that was taught to me by Lifestyles Unlimited. I didn't make this up. This is a minimum standard I learned in 2017 when I first became a member, and I still employ this standard today, 7 years later. What's the standard? The equity captured must be at least equal to the amount of money that I put into the deal. So in other words, if I'm looking at a deal, and I'm looking at a deal right now, and this particular deal tells me, I haven't even told you anything about the deal, right? I'm just looking at a deal that came in. We haven't even talked about the size of the house. We haven't talked about the age of the house. We haven't talked about the location of the house. We haven't talked about any of that stuff because none of that stuff matters right now because we're talking about the minimum standard. Does this asset meet my minimum standard? Let's figure it out. Cash flow is $337 per month. It's going to require me to put $36,000 into the deal. That will generate an 11.23% cash-on-cash return for me. All right, so let's talk about the cash flow. Pays me $337 per month after all expenses are paid. Does that exceed my minimum standard to $200? Answer is yes, it does. Check that box. Cash-on-cash return. I told you the cash-on-cash return was 11.23%. How do we factor that? We take the annual cash flow of $4,044. We divide it by the $36,000 that it's going to take to do this deal. And we get an 11.23% return on investment based on the cash on cash. Does 11.23% meet my minimum standard of 8%? Well, yes, it does. Check that box. Hey, things are looking up, right? All right. We set another standard that we wanted to identify was that our return on capital gains, in other words, the equity capture that we earn in this property, must be equal to or greater than the cash out of pocket that I reach into my pocket and pull out and actually put into this deal. So what do these numbers reflect to me? Now remember, the cash out of pocket on this deal was $36,000. The net equity captured, is $21,500. That is not equal or greater than $36,000, is it? No, it's not. So just based on that information right there, this asset, no matter how great of a location it might be in, no matter how pretty the property might be, no matter how many bedrooms and baths that it might have, doesn't meet my minimum standard. I reject this investment offering. That's it. Gone. Bye. See ya. Hasta la bye-bye, baby. Or how did Arnold do that? Hasta la bye-bye, baby. I don't do a good Arnold, but that was my best impersonation. All right. So are there deals out there that meet my minimum investing criteria? And the short answer is, why, absolutely. As a matter of fact, here's one that came in that meets all of my minimums. It pays $220 per month in cash flow. Is that more than my minimum standard of $200? Yes. It's going to require me to put $26,500 into the deal. That's going to return an annual cash flow of $2,640. If I take the $2,640 of annual cash flow and divide it by the $26,500 cash out of pocket, I get 10% cash on cash return. Remember, my minimum standard is 8%. This asset meets my cash on cash return percentage. It is greater than my minimum of 8%. Things are looking up. But what about the equity capture? Does the equity capture allow me to capture at least as much money as I put into the deal? Let's check it out. Remember, I put $26,500 into this deal. The anticipated net equity captured on this deal, $28,000. Is $28,000 a bigger number than $26,500? Why, yes, it is. So guess what? We have just selected an asset that would work with our investing criteria. It meets our minimum standard. Now, it just barely meets the minimum standard, but guess what? It meets the minimum standard. And at the end of the day, if you bought this asset for $26,500 and you invested in the asset for 5 years and you held it for 5 years, that $26,500 would turn into almost $92,500 at the end of 5 years, or a 249% return on investment. Now that meets my minimum standard. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com, sign up for that free workshop, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.